indeed time for the crime report. Amanda, you got me a thumbs up there. That'll be cool. And you do. Good job there. Crime Report sponsored by the Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. And that's where all calls are indeed kept confidential. Joe Jackalone, retired Sergeant NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, and author of The Criminal Investigative Function, a guy for new investigators, edition number 4, soon to be 5. And, by the way, best-selling author. We'll get into that. Joe, a highly decorated member of the NYPD, including most notable Department of Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to the stars. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am doing well, my friend. We got a lot going on here. We'll talk about the Cold Case Handbook, a book that Joe put out just a couple of weeks ago. It's doing unbelievable. But let's get into a couple of things, Joe, regarding this guy from Central Islip. That'll lead us off here this morning, who sold crack cocaine and fentanyl to a woman who fatally overdosed on the drugs. Those drugs, getting a sentence to 7 years behind bars, not long enough, as the police made the arrest of this Rashid Smith shortly after this 43-year-old bought the drugs from him, died from the overdose. Last June, and it comes a month, Joe, after a 28-year-old at a Huntington station was sentenced to 5 years in prison for selling counterfeit pills laced with that fentanyl, and that's what another person, a 23-year-old was, who fatally overdosed in East Northport. This is the trend now that it's happening. It's the pattern, and the DA is right after this stuff.
No, it's excellent that they're able to put these cases together. Think how difficult this is to find the drug dealer, be able to track them down, be able to prove that he was the individual that sold these drugs that were laced with fentanyl and be able to prosecute the case. So, I mean, this is some great work done by the police out here and, of course, the district attorney who doesn't really get enough credit, right? I mean, he's really been doing a great job since he's taken over. And it's just a case like this. You think about how many different working parts they have to do this. You know, listen, 8 years is not enough as far as I'm concerned, but it's a start where maybe some deterrence in the respect that drug dealers who are selling this stuff that, you know, see this happening, that this is going to happen to them too.
What a difference a district attorney makes who does his job, and Ray Tinney does it in incredible fashion, Joe. This is how you go about your business. You know, you link it. The fentanyl we know is deadly. If you sell it and you kill somebody with it, guess what? The ramifications are going to be huge for you, and they are. And that's a great job by Tinney in all, so we commend him for that. Police also, Joe, arrested a Yonkers man. He fatally shot a 20-year-old last February on board, remember this story, on board a Long Island Railroad train. Nicholas D'Agostino allegedly killed Yusuf Stain. This was at the Ronkonkoma Station, Joe. Very prominent case there.
Yeah, no, we remember we spoke about it when it happened, and if you recall, we said that we really didn't hear much about it, but then all of a sudden it's like the rabbit out of the hat, right? So this long-term investigation gone on, they reached all the way out to Yonkers to find this guy, and they brought him into justice. Like I said, the Suffolk County Police did a great job, and now it's in the hands of the district attorney, who seems to be having a pretty good way with what he's doing in the courtroom. So this is it's a good sign that the police have their men, and now that the district attorney, it's his job to make sure that the police built a prosecutable case.
No doubt. Joe Jackalone with us, the crime report, the Sarge. This is some good news for a change. A police officer was shot, Joe, discharged from Stony Brook yesterday. And talking about police officer Michael LaFauci, very lucky man, accompanied by his fiance, 17-month-old daughter, as they left the hospital in a wheelchair. Could have been a lot worse. You know, these 9-millimeter hollow point bullets that Dr. James Boswinkel described as bullet going into LaFauci. We know the damage it does. You know, it tears, it rips, it pulls tissue, and went right through him. And thank the good Lord, this officer was able to live another day and get out of there yesterday.
Yeah, no, this was, when we first heard about this, you kind of hold your breath, and, you know, especially, like I said, when people get shot in the legs and everywhere else, I mean, it's a real dangerous spot because of the femoral arteries that run through into your both thighs, and it's something that, you know, a quarter of an inch here, a quarter of an inch there, could mean the difference of life and death. So it's excellent news.
Thank goodness for that, Joe, with the crime report. Let's get to, you know, there's a tough one here where you have a professional dancer, Joe. There's a story beyond. All righty, a little bit glitched there, but we are back, and that with the Sarge the Crime Report. Joe, you're with us. That's good, I hope.
Yes,
and,
I am.
And there we go. I was talking about this professional dancer facing these child-related sex charges. Joe allegedly engaged in inappropriate activity. It was during video chats, 2 teen students involved from this a studio in Oakdale, this David Sanders Dance Dynamics. This guy, this pervert, worked as an instructor here, this 30-year-old. But all in all, charges put forth, and here we go. We've heard this action before, without question.
Yeah, it's definitely a disturbing case, and there's a possibility that we might end up hearing, you know, from other victims that will come forward now. I mean, that's generally what happens in these cases. They put out the person's face, and they put out the information where it occurs and what happened, and then people then say, oh, you know, and finally come forward now that he's been identified. So we'll see exactly what happens here, but it sounds like an awful case. It really does.
It really is, and this is why, you know, there's a lot of people out there like this guy. You got to vet them properly and whatnot here, but all in all, good job by authorities zeroing in here. Joe Jacklin with the crime report. Let's talk about the former president, a very powerful construction industry union. Joe, he got a sentence yesterday, a little over 51 months in federal prison. Why? He enriched himself and others, accepted bribes and illegal cash payments. You know, a wiretap investigation began actually in Suffolk County from a construction contractor, according to prosecutors. So James Cahill now will have to serve. He's the ex-president of New York State Building and Construction Trades Council, and previously pled guilty, Joe, to some of these charges.
Yeah, and, you know, high-ranking union official. It's unfortunate that these things are you know, still happen, but it seems as if we talk about cases like this at least every other week that there's something happens like this on Long Island. So it goes to show you, too, that, you know, they are actually able to put some of these cases together. But I always say, can you imagine how bad the situation is out there when you're finding people like this who are doing this? And you find, you know, just scratching the surface, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and it's never good when a former deputy commissioner of public safety for the town of Oyster Bay, this guy got arrested. He was accused, Joe, of all things, stealing golf clubs from Dick's Sporting Goods, a store in Melville. You might want to say that 68-year-old Barry Bree is sort of a putz, no pun intended. Golf clubs, sticks. Now listen, I'm stretching it a little here, but obviously you gotta wonder, what the hell is this guy thinking?
Well, you know, people will steal anything that's that people use for an enjoyable pastime. They can make money off of. Who knows exactly why people do certain things anymore? But you know, it's not unusual just to have, you know, workers and everybody else coming in and stealing things in that regards. And it's just it's just a sign of the times. It just seems to be every day you turn on the news that somebody looting a retail store or what have you. But you know, theft from the inside is always the worst part of all the theft kind of thing. So, see exactly what happens here.
Somebody ought to tell Mr. Bree that there are cameras in and around these days. You know, people can get a look-see at you. But all in all, that's what happened. Now, speaking of stealing, what about this couple out of Hicksville? Did you hear about this? Accused of stealing more than $12,000 in COVID relief funds. So the NASA DA got another good one there, and Ann Donnelly said Michael Arbacio and Eileen Dantini submitted fraudulent paperwork to the town of Oyster Bay's COVID emergency rental assistance program. And thus, after an intense investigation, this is what happened. They're facing up to 7 years behind bars, Joe.
Yep. For third-degree grand larceny, and you're also dealing with the, you know, they stole the money for the rent purposes. You know, so it's, I think we're going to hear a lot more of these stories, too, during, you know, now that the pandemic, you know, quote-unquote, is sort of over. But the money aspect of things, I think, will be definitely something that the IRS will be looking into for people who receive payments. All right, so you got all the tax times come that just passed due. I think you might see more of this coming through over the next couple of months.
Yep, without question. Joe Jacqueline, the crime report, you know, this type of stuff that happens all the time. A lot of people think they can get away with this stuff, but some good track work and investigation there. Joe, I got a big problem here with this Harry Megan stuff in New York City the other day. The chase that ensued could have been catastrophic proportions. You know, I want to hear a little more on this. I want to see the validity of it all. Pictures, video, something here. I got a big problem. You know, listen, even if it's true, I mean, why putting everybody in danger of these two knuckleheads? I'm going to call them knuckleheads.